All right, people of the Most High God, those of you in the Challenge Ministries Radio Congregation, get your Bibles if you can. Open them to Jeremiah chapter 3, because in a few minutes, that's where we're going to go. I'm going to call you to prayer in a few minutes after I play a song for you. I want you to understand that God has turned all of his work over to the church. Listen to me carefully. God has turned all of his work over to the church. I keep telling you day after day, as a believer priest, you've been adopted into the family of God. As a believer priest that's been adopted into the family of God, you are a soldier of the cross. You are a soldier. You are a ambassador for Christ. You're a believer priest. So now stop and think about what I'm saying to you. As a child of God, as one that has been adopted into the family of God, you are a child of God. As a child of God, you're a believer priest, meaning you represent the kingdom of God on earth today. You, as a believer priest, as a child of God, have access to the throne of God, which is why I keep calling you to intercessory prayer. But then it's warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, thrones, dominions. We're soldiers. We're to endure hardness as a good soldier. So we are a soldier in the army of God. It's warfare, folks. It is flat out warfare. Every day of the world, when you get up, Satan, if he has not already neutralized you, is seeking for a way he can neutralize you. And demons are real. Unclean spirits are real. Read the Word of God. Read the Word of God. You'll find out that our Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, confronted demons, unclean spirits in the lives of individuals in every class of people. Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven devils, became so special in the family of God and in the kingdom of God. So as we move into this today, I'm going to be taking you to Jeremiah chapter 3. Hopefully we'll cover verses 1 through 25, the entire chapter. I've entitled, We Have Not Obeyed. And we haven't. For the most part, we have not obeyed. We have some. We have a remnant. Now we have a remnant, but then inside that remnant, we have a smaller remnant. And that smaller remnant, inside the remnant, is the one that's going to have to get it done until others can come into that smaller remnant group of people. So just understand who you are in Christ Jesus. Been adopted into the family of God? As a child of God, you have access to the throne of God. You are a believer priest. You are representing the kingdom of God. You are an ambassador for Christ. You have access to the throne of God. You are a soldier. We're to endure hardness as a good soldier, which means you're a warrior. You are a warrior priest. Warrior priest. How does that sit with you? How does it sound to you to say to yourself, I am a warrior priest? I love it. Why? Because it's warfare. It's warfare. And I, quite frankly, am glad I'm in the battle. And those of us who've been born again, each of us are in the battle. And we need to get up every day of the world, putting on the whole armor of God, submitting and surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and then go out into a sin-cursed, sin-darkened world to represent the Lord Jesus Christ and to advance the kingdom of God by who we are, what we are, all we are. But let's warm our hearts for prayer with this, shall we?
Say it isn't me. Coming for the church, but the blood washed and the redeemed.
And all of God's people said, glory be to God, hallelujah, forever, amen. Listen, child of God, one of the greatest compliments you can or that you can have is to be hated in hell. You want everything in hell to hate you. You want every demon out of hell to hate you. You say, oh, Bob, wait a moment. If I talk like that, I might attract the attention of some demon. You already have. The day you were born, you attracted demonic powers to you, for crying out loud. And the day you were born again, I'll promise you, they took notice of that in hell. When you were born again, hell took notice. And you know, Satan does not waste his inventory. If he can subdue you, if he can compromise you with a lesser demon, that's what he's going to do. Now, we all receive the influence of unclean spirits. And some of you are so weak in the Lord that it doesn't take much of an unclean spirit, a demon, to neutralize you. But there's others of you, you're strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So he's had to assign a stronger unclean spirit or a group of unclean spirits to you. You know, I realize that some of you are thinking, Bob, you're off the deep end. Folks, if you knew my background and what it was before I came into the ministry, and when I came into the ministry, I doubted these things myself. As a matter of fact, God had to put me in a position and in a place where I was confronted with spiritual warfare. I mean reality. I mean spiritual warfare. And I had to get into the Word. I had to get on my knees. I had to spend time alone with the Lord in order to become better acquainted with warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, the Word of God says. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, thrones, and dominions. What do you think that means? Come on, child of God. What do you think that means? Let me tell you what it means. It means that we as people of God are up against unclean spirits. We call them demons. Every day of the world. And they're trying to gain an advantage in your life. They want to control your thinking, your responses, your reactions. They want to intimidate you. But you have to know who you are in Christ Jesus. And these days, one of the things I'm praying, I am asking God to raise up the remnant. But then you see, I realize inside that remnant, there's a smaller remnant. Inside the remnant, there's a smaller remnant, and that smaller remnant understands warfare. That smaller remnant understands spiritual warfare. That smaller remnant understands that we're up against unclean spirits, demons, every day of the world. And they're working at every level in the life of every nation, and they're working in the life of believers. Depending upon how strong that believer is, would depend upon what kind of unclean spirit is assigned to him or her, or what kind of unclean spirits are assigned in order to compromise their walk with the Lord. Let's go to God in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, my Lord and my God, I want to thank you for the opportunity of being at the microphone. I thank you for the opportunity of teaching the Word of God. I thank you for the opportunity of standing for the kingdom of God, seeking to advance the kingdom of God. I thank you for the privilege of getting up every morning and submitting in myself to your Lordship in my life, Lord Jesus. Die to self. Oh, holy, righteous Father, help each and every child of yours understand that we must die to ourselves and submit ourselves to you as living sacrifices. That's what your word says. And then as we submit ourselves as a living sacrifice, let us every day of the world put on the whole armor of God, the girdle of truth, their breastplate of righteousness, our feet being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, taking up the shield of faith, putting on the helmet of salvation, and picking up the sword of the Spirit, the word of the Lord, every day of the world, and go out to face this sin-cursed, sin-darkened world, seeking to advance the kingdom of God, to be the salt, to be the light, to be the testimony, to be the witness that you've called us to be. So, Father God, I'm asking you today, take this message. Help your people better understand who they are in Christ Jesus. And Lord, if there's somebody listening to this message who has not yet received Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray that by the time this message is off the air, that they will come before your throne saying, Lord God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Save my soul. Forgive me for my sins. Be my Lord. Be my Master. And Lord, if you'll do this, we'll give you all the glory, honor, and praise. And now, Father, before we get into the message, I'm going to ask you to, for a season, Father, I'm going to ask you to neutralize the power of Satan in the nations of the world. I'm going to ask you to neutralize the power of Satan in the nations of the world for a season. And at that time, and during that time, let the church become more of what she's designed to be. Let us be the ambassadors for Christ, the soldiers of the cross, believer priests, coming before the throne of God in intercessory prayer, advancing the kingdom of God through who we are, what we are, all we are, and through our prayers. And this we pray in Jesus' name. All of God's people said amen and amen. Let me start out the message by saying this to you. There is no substitute for obedience. Did you hear me? There is no substitute for obedience. Sensitivity to the Spirit of God. You want to be sensitive. Every day of the world, you need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. It can listen for that check in the Spirit. It could save your life. It could save you from having an accident. It could have you make the right decision at the right time and not make the wrong decision at the wrong time. But submission, sensitivity. So you want to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, and you cannot be sensitive to the Spirit of God unless you're in submission. You see, sensitivity to the Spirit of God requires submission to the Lord God Almighty. And not only submission, obedience. It requires submission. Listen to me carefully. I'm talking to some people today. You need to understand this. Sensitivity to the Spirit of God, because you need to hear God. You need that check in the Spirit. You need that peace in the Spirit. But sensitivity to the Spirit of God requires submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It requires obedience to the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, the Word of God says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." Well, there's eternal security. There's eternal security right there. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." Now, how do we grieve the Spirit? When we do that which He is prompting us not to do. You start to do something, go someplace, say something, and the Holy Spirit puts a check in your spirit. Well, you grieve the Holy Spirit when you do not do that, when you do not obey that which He is prompting you to do. When we say that which He prompts us not to say, when we do that which He prompts us not to do. So we're to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in order to live a life that is enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Listen to me carefully. To live a life that is enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit, that, my friend, requires sensitivity to His promptings and to His check in the Spirit. You've got to be sensitive to that prompting of the Holy Spirit and to that check in your spirit by the Holy Spirit. We need His guidance. We need the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God. We need his enablement and his empowerment moment by moment as we walk through this sin-cursed, sin-darkened world. Folks, it's warfare, and you're a target. You've been born again, you are a target. And here again, it is moment by moment as we receive his guidance, his enablement, and his empowerment. Now, not only are we not to grieve the Holy Spirit, we're not to quench the Holy Spirit. Word of God tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, quench not the Spirit. How do I quench the Spirit? By not doing that which he's prompting me to do. I have to be sensitive. You have to be sensitive. We have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit because I quench the Holy Spirit by not doing that which he is prompting me to do. Years ago, I went to a meeting here in Jacksonville, and it was a guest speaker, and he was from out of town speaker, and I decided to go listen to him. Well, I had a $100 bill. Didn't often have one of those, but I had one on that night. I was going to the meeting, and I think maybe this was just a test that the Lord allowed me to have the $100 bill to, so he could put me to the test. But anyway, I go into the place where the meeting is going to be in a hotel, and I thought, wait a minute. I've got a $100 bill, and he's going to take an offering, so I'll break this $100 bill down into 20s. So I went to the cashier, and I got my $100 bill changed into five $20 bills. Well, I listened to the message, good preacher, good speaker, and then took the offering. Well, when they started to take the offering, I started reaching in my pocket to get my money clip, and the Holy Spirit said, give me the 100. And I paused. I paused a moment. Holy Spirit said, give me the 100. I had determined to avoid that possibility. And here the Holy Spirit is saying, give me the 100. So, with that thought in mind, come with me to Jeremiah chapter 3, because part of what I learned there is obedience. Be sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Now, see, it was me that had decided I was not going to give the $100 in the offering. So I went and changed the 100 to 520s. Then it was the Spirit of God that said, give me the 100. I want the 100. You know, at a time like that, you're either going to obey or disobey. And friend, let me tell you something. How many times a day is the Holy Spirit of God prompting you to say something or not to say something, to do something or not to do something, to be this, to be that, or not to be this, or not to be that? And how many times a day do you quench the Holy Spirit? How many times a day do you grieve the Holy Spirit? And then you're going to rush into the presence of God with your prayers and expect to be heard. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Word of God says, the Lord will not hear me. In other words, if I have known sin in my life that I am not recognizing or that I'm not confessing, that's going to block my prayer life. I cannot afford to have my prayer life blocked. Neither can you. Now let's go to Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 1. They say, if a man divorces his wife and she goes from him and becomes another man's, may he return to her again? Would not that land be greatly polluted? But you have played the harlot with many lovers, yet return to me, says the Lord. God is speaking to the nation, and I wonder how many people he's speaking to today when he says, you have played the harlot with many lovers. I have no idea what you've been involved in. God knows. And the Holy Spirit, you can quench the Spirit of God, you can grieve the Spirit of God, but you have to understand, God wants you in submission to his will, and he wants you in obedience to him as a believer priest, as a soldier of the cross, as a child of God. How many lovers, how many fake gods did Judah worship? The Lord is saying to them, you have played the harlot with many lovers. They had played the harlot with many false gods. And even after seeing what God did to the northern kingdom, Samaria, the southern kingdom went right along. Remember the split in Israel after the death of Solomon and his son Rehoboam came to the throne? The people asked him, lighten the load. Lighten the tax load on us. But that little smart-aleck son talked to some friends of his, and they said, no. Say, if you think my dad was hard, wait till you see what I do. So he responded negatively, and he even threatened greater burdens. So that resulted in the division of the nation. The northern kingdom, Samaria, left the southern kingdom, Judah, leaving two tribes in the southern kingdom, Benjamin and Judah. Now, Jeremiah prophesied primarily to the southern kingdom. He is prophesying primarily to the southern kingdom. He will speak of the northern kingdom. He will speak to the northern kingdom. But his primary focus and his primary ministry is to the southern kingdom. Jeremiah 3:2. Lift up your eyes to the desolate heights and see, where have you not lain with men? By the road you have set for them like an Arabian in the wilderness. You have polluted the land with your harlotries and your wickedness. Spiritual adultery. That's what's in mind here. Spiritual adultery. The nation was involved in spiritual adultery. Understand this, people of God. Spiritual adultery is an age-old practice. It was practiced in that day, and it's still being practiced today. When we say spiritual adultery, exactly what do we mean? We mean this, the worship of anyone or anything. The worship of anyone or anything other than the Holy Trinity, that is spiritual adultery. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 3. Therefore, the showers have been withheld, and there has been no latter rain. You have had a harlot's forehead. You refuse to be ashamed. God is saying to the nation, your spiritual adultery has cost you blessings. Do you have ears to hear? He's speaking to the nation. Now, nations are made up of people, aren't they? Nations are made up of people. So God is speaking to the people in the nation. And he says to them, your spiritual adultery has cost you blessings. You see, the judgment of God is not always some kind of cataclysmic event. Not always. The judgment of God is not always a cataclysmic event. Sometimes it can be nothing more than the withholding of a blessing. Did you hear what I said? Sometimes the judgment of God can be a withholding of blessings. It can be the withholding of divine protection. So it can be the withholding of blessings. It can be the withholding of divine protection from satanic attacks, as well as withholding divine protection, period. Every day of the world, you need God's protection. When you leave the house, you're in traffic, aren't you? You need God's protection every day you leave the home. You need his divine protection. Jeremiah 3:4. Will you not from this time cry to me, my father? You are the guide of my youth. He says, will you not remember who you are? Will you not just take the time to remember who you are and who I am to you? Think back. Think back over the history of your life. Think back over the history of your nation. Will you not remember who you are and who I am to you? And will you not call on me? Will you not call on me for protection? Will you not call on me for provision? Do you mean to tell me you go out of your house every day of the world without taking a moment and asking God for his protection? Asking God for his guidance, direction, provision? Do you not take a few moments before you leave the house? You say, Bob, I don't have time for quality, quiet time in the morning. I got to get to work. What about in the evening? What about in the evening? Can you set aside a little time just for him? Lord, this is me and you. You see, you, every day of the world, you need his divine protection. You need his divine provision. Now we come to verse 5. This is a tough verse. Will he remember anger forever? Will keep it to the end? Behold, you have spoken and done evil things as you were able. That's a tough verse to interpret. Let's do it again. Will he remain angry forever? Will keep it to the end? Behold, you have spoken and done evil things as you were able. Now let me read you that in another translation. Another translation reads it this way. And yet you say to me, O Father, you have always been my friend. Surely you won't be angry about such a little thing. Surely you will just forget it. They were not truly repenting, were they? They were not truly repenting. You see, true repentance results in change. You have not repented of a thing until you have changed. You have something in your life that is grieving the Spirit of God, quenching the Spirit of God, that is unchristlike. It may be an attitude, reaction, response, lifestyle, whatever it may be. And understand this, people of God. I keep bringing this out because I want you to be encouraged. But understand this. Spiritual growth is a lifelong process. And once again, I remind you, you came into the kingdom of God in kindergarten. You came into the kingdom of God as a spiritual infant. And now you've got to come through different levels of spiritual growth. So these people were not truly repentant. They were not truly repenting. True repentance results in change. True repentance results in repentance and correction. It's a matter of saying, Father. You know, we tend to run into the presence of God and say, Father, forgive me for my sins. And he says, which one? Did you ever stop to think about that? You rush into the presence of God saying, Lord, Father, forgive me for my sins. He has the right to say, which one? Which one do you want me to forgive you for? You commit them one at a time, don't you? Don't you commit sins one at a time? You see, these people were making a mockery, if you will, of repentance. They were making a mockery of repentance because they were continuing in their hypocrisy and asking God to overlook their hypocrisy. Have you done that? Have you been a hypocrite, practicing hypocrisy, and expecting God to overlook your hypocrisy? Well, he did not, and he will not. He will not overlook their hypocrisy. He did not, and he will not. Not for me, not for you, not for anyone. Jeremiah 3:6, the Lord said also to me in the days of Josiah, the king, have you seen what backsliding Israel has done? She has gone up on every high mountain and under every tree, and there played the harlot. She's practicing whoredom, spiritual whoredom. How much of the church today is infected with those involved in spiritual whoredom, spiritual adultery? Now, Israel, the 10 tribes, had withdrawn from Judah, you recall. And we identified them as the northern kingdom, referred to as well as Samaria. And God says, the nation Israel, now this was God speaking, God said the nation Israel is a religious whore. A religious whore. How much of the church today is living like a religious whore? Involved in so many things, unchristlike, ungodlike, disobedience to the Word of God. How much of the what we call the church today is a religious whore? The nation Israel was a religious whore. Why? because they were worshiping false gods. Just that simple. They were worshiping false gods. Now, in how many nations of the world does that apply today? This morning on my knees, and this morning while sitting before the Lord, I take the nations of the world before him. For example, I take Russia. I take China. I take North Korea. I take America. I name some nations by name, and I take them before the throne of God, asking God for a move of his Holy Spirit in those nations, neutralizing the power and authority of the spirit of Antichrist. You see, we still have today, how many nations in the world today are worshiping a false god? Just as Israel did. Just as the northern kingdom did. How many nations in the world today does that apply? They are worshiping a false god. Jeremiah 3:7. And I said, after she had done all these things, now God returns. And I said, after she had done all these things, return to me. But she did not return. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. Now the northern kingdom. Now we've got the southern kingdom. Judah is the southern kingdom. And Judah saw what was going on up north and mimicked them. In spite of Israel's spiritual adultery, God still loved her. God still called her to repentance. How far this nation has sunk in sin, God still loves this nation. God loves the church. God loves the bride of Christ. And while we are told that the church is not nearly as big as it once was, and is not expanding as it once was, God still loves it. And remember this, God always has a remnant. God always has a remnant in every nation in the world. Now, that remnant may not be very large, but God has a remnant. Now, and I said, after she had done all these things, return to me. But she did not return. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. In spite of Israel's spiritual adultery, God still loved her. And God called her to return. You see, God loves, listen to me carefully for a moment. God loves the unlovable. I had been out of church for so long. Went back to church. Sat down in the back row. And that morning the preacher preached a message entitled, Loving the Unlovable. I've told you this before. And I sat there saying, that's me. I'm the prodigal. I played the prodigal. Raised in a Christian home. Raised in the church, involved in church activities, left home, got away from home, got away from God, went out into the world. I've experienced the world. I know what I talk about when I'm talking about it. I have experienced the world. And I know that some of you today are experiencing the world. But there came a time I came back home. And that morning, for the first time in a long time, I went to church. And the preacher preached, God loves the unlovable. Loving the unlovable. And I sat there saying, that's me. I am the unlovable. Jeremiah 3:8. And then I saw that for all the causes for which backsliding Israel had committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a certificate of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah did not fear, but went and played the harlot also. In her refusal to repent and return, God had to leave her to reap as she had sown. Whatsoever man sows, that also shall he reap. And we reap later than we sow. And many times we reap more than we sowed, but we always reap what we sow. That's true of a nation, and that's true of an individual. The history of the northern kingdom is not a pretty thing to behold. She was invaded and conquered by the Assyrians in BC 721. She was invaded and conquered. How many nations today were once superpowers? Listen to me carefully. How many nations today were once superpowers? And the United States is one of them. But is it just possible she will not always be a superpower? You see, my end time understanding is that there will be a convergence of the nations of the world, And there will be a one world order, a one world government, and that individual that we know as a Antichrist will eventually come to position of power and authority in that one world order and exercise control over that one world order. And the church sleeps on. And the church sleeps on. Read the Word of God. Get into the Word of God, comparing Scripture with Scripture, and see what the Holy Spirit reveals to you. How many nations today were once superpowers are no longer superpowers? Jeremiah 3:9. So it came to pass through her casual harlotry that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and trees. Idolatry defiled the nation, as it will any nation. Committing spiritual adultery with stones and trees. In other words, statues. Statues. I remember being in Tagaytay, and we were holding some seminars in a Catholic retreat house. And I sat on the second floor of that Catholic retreat house. I could see a big statue of Mary across the street. And I watched Catholic priests and nuns coming out and bowing and kneeling before that statue. And I just grieved for them. I just grieved for them. Jeremiah 3:10. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah has not returned to me with her whole heart, but in pretense, says the Lord, Judah, the southern kingdom, in turn also became apostate. She followed the example of the northern kingdom. Judah was feigning a devotion to God, pretending a devotion to God, while becoming increasingly apostate. And I'm watching my nation. I'm watching my nation today. Oh, folks, if you understood the signs of the times, get into the Word of God and relate the signs of the times to the times that we're living. Jeremiah 3:11. Then the Lord said to me, backsliding Israel has shown herself more righteous than treacherous Judah. Judah, the southern kingdom, has surpassed Israel, the northern kingdom, in her apostasy. Jeremiah 3:12. Go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, return, backsliding Israel, says the Lord. I will not cause my anger to fall on you, for I am merciful, says the Lord. Thank God, for I am merciful. I will not remain angry forever. Thank God for his mercy. The Lord calls backsliding Israel to repentance. Repent, and I will withhold my anger, for I am merciful. Once again, thank God for his mercy. Repent, and I will withhold my anger. Where would I be today? Where would you be today if it were not for his mercy? Think about it. Where would I be today? Where would you be today if it were not for his mercy? Jeremiah 3:13. Only acknowledge your iniquity, that you have transgressed against the Lord, your God, and have scattered your charms to alien deities under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, says the Lord. He simply says, acknowledge your sin. Acknowledge your sin. Admit your sin. Confess your sin. Confess that you have committed spiritual adultery in the worship of other gods. Jeremiah 3:14. Return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. I will take you, one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Now, folks, I hope you got listening ears. I hope you have ears to hear what I'm about to say to you. God is saying, repent and return. Watch it carefully now. Return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. I will take you, one, from a city, and two, from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Repent and return. A remnant will be saved, if you will. A remnant will be saved. Out of the nation, a remnant will be saved. Folks, the same thing is true today. We have a remnant in the nations of the world. We have a remnant in this nation that loves the Lord, believes the Lord, trusts the Lord, obeys the Lord. But the remnant is not nearly as big as you might think it is. But God always has a remnant. And out of that nation, in that day, a remnant will be saved. Understand this. Today, all who profess Christ do not possess Christ. Don't let that escape you. All who profess Christ do not possess Christ. If Christ were to return today, some expressions of religion could continue to function. Did you hear me? If Christ were to return today, some expressions of religion could continue to function, even with their current leadership. Even with the leadership they have today, they could still function. They'd still be here. Jeremiah 3:15. And I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. God knows how to provide for the remnant. God knows how to protect the remnant. He knows how to provide for the remnant. He knows how to protect the remnant. He knows how to provide the remnant with spiritually qualified leadership, because God always has a remnant. And he knows how to provide the remnant with spiritually qualified leadership. Verse 16, then it shall come to pass, when you are multiplied and increased in the nation in those days, says the Lord, that they will say no more the ark of the covenant of the Lord. It shall not come to mind, nor shall they remember it, nor shall they visit it, nor shall it be made any more. The idea seems to be here that with the coming of the Messiah and his introduction of the kingdom of God and the new covenant, the old system of religion would be replaced. The whole old system would be replaced with his coming. Jeremiah 3:17, at that time, Jerusalem shall be called the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered to it, the name of the Lord to Jerusalem. No more shall they follow the dictates of their evil hearts. At that time, Jerusalem will be called the throne of the Lord. As Christ Jesus will eventually someday in the future be enthroned there in Jerusalem. And all the nations shall be gathered to it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. All those who have been born again will be gathered together in the new Jerusalem. Did you hear me? All those born again will be gathered together in the new Jerusalem. No more will they follow the dictates of their evil heart. All those in the new Jerusalem will be sealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have been born again, sealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 3:18. In those days, the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given as an inheritance to your fathers. They will be united under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 3:19. But I said, how can I put you among the children and give you a pleasant land, a beautiful heritage of the host of nations? And I said, you shall call me my father and not turn away from me. God is speaking, declaring his love for his people. We have difficulty understanding the love of God. Furthermore, we have difficulty receiving the love of God, do we not? Not only do we have difficulty understanding the love of God, we have difficulty receiving the love of God. Verse 20, surely as a wife treacherously departs from her husband, so have you dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, says the Lord. The nation of Israel had been unfaithful to God, even as an unfaithful wife is to her husband. How much of the church today has done the same thing? How much of that which is really, truly the born-again people of God, but how much of that church has today proved unfaithful? Jeremiah 3:21, a voice was heard on the desolate heights, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, they have forgotten the Lord their God. This verse speaks to repentance, national repentance, national repentance. This nation needs national repentance. Jeremiah 3:22, return you backsliding children, I will heal your backsliding. Indeed, we do come to you, for you are the Lord our God. Israel responds to the call of God for repentance. Jeremiah 3:23, truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord, our God, is the salvation of Israel. None of the false gods they had worshipped could bring relief. Relief and salvation could only be found in a return to God. What was true in that day is true in this day, individually and nationally. Relief and salvation can only be found in a return to God. Jeremiah 3:24, for shame has devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth, our flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. What he's saying is their idolatrous practices had only broken them and brought them loss. Their idolatrous practices had broken them, had brought them loss. Jeremiah 3:25, we lie down in our shame, and our repentance and our reproach covers us, for we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth, even to this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. Their disobedience is recognized and confessed. I would to God that would happen in America, that our disobedience would be recognized and confessed. I bumped across this in doing some research. America is experiencing a shift away from its historical Christian majority with a growing demographic of religiously unaffiliated nuns. While secularism is on the rise, sociologists and theologians debate whether this constitutes biblical apostasy, the formal abandonment of faith, or strictly a cultural evolution towards religious pluralism and disaffiliation. You shall have no other gods before me, the Word of God says. You shall have no other gods before me. Heavenly Father, I've tried to deliver this to them as you delivered it to me. And I'm going to ask you to take my attempt to deliver to them what you delivered to me. I'm going to ask you to take my attempt and use it to quicken to them the need for repentance in individual lives and the need for repentance nationally. That we need to repent individually and we need to repent as a nation and return to that from which we were grounded. Oh, Father God, we've strayed so far. I'm asking you for your mercy. I'm asking you for grace. And Father God, if there's one individual that has listened to this message who has not yet been born again, I pray you'll have them approach you saying, Lord God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And if you'll do this, we'll give you all the glory, honor, and praise. And this we pray and ask in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said amen and amen. Well, hearts, I want to thank you so much for joining us today here on Challenge. And I'd like for you to take seriously what you've heard, because I'm telling you, the nation needs prayer. The nation needs prayer. The church in the nation needs prayer. The church in the nations of the world needs prayer. We need to be praying for the advancement of the kingdom of God in every nation of the world. Now, before I close out today, let me do this. If you would like to engage yourself in some Bible study, I prepared a course of curriculum called the Florida Bible Institute. And you can go to our website and you can access the Florida Bible Institute. There's 36 lessons there, and they're designed to help disciple you and help you become strong in the Lord and the power of His might. But for those of you who don't want to bite off anything that heavy right now, I also have 7 lessons posted called Basic Bible Training. It's basic Bible training for those of you who are not that well grounded in the Word of God, but you'd like to get a handle on who you are in Christ Jesus. So I'm going to invite you, go to our website, challengeminister.com, and access the Florida Bible Institute or the Basic Bible Training Program. So I wanted to get that to you. It's there. It's all free. I wrote the material. I used it in our ministry here. I've used it in other places. As a matter of fact, some of our mission people in the Philippines are using it. But it's there. It's available. It's free. And I invite you to go to our website, challengeministries.com, and visit our website and maybe access this discipleship material. Let's do this. Let's go to God in prayer for a moment before closing. Heavenly Father, I'm glad that you're on your throne, and I'm glad that you still hear and answer prayer. And I'm asking you in the precious name of Jesus to set in motion that which will advance the kingdom of God in the nations of the world and decrease the influence and effect of the spirit of Satan, the kingdom of darkness, in the nations of the world. And I'm asking you to raise up in the nations of the world those with a spirit like unto Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah, John the Baptist, and use them to call the people of God to repentance and to holiness. And Father, if you'll do this, we'll give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise, and we will appreciate it, because Father, we need a move of God, not only in this nation, but in the nations of the world. So we present the prayer request to you for your kind consideration, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Well, once again, thanks for joining us today here on Challenge, and here again, till we get a chance to do this again, be ever so blessed, be ever so blessed.